The following is a complimentary excerpt of this week's edition of the Friday Focus podcast by The Monk Debates. To access full-length editions of each and every episode, along with all kinds of great additional benefits and perks, become a donor to The Monk Debates. You can do that for as little as $25 a year, and you'll receive each and every year 50 Friday Focus episodes at full length. It's all available right now on our website in just a few simple clicks. www.themonkdebates.com. Look for the Friday Focus option in our navigation bar at the top right of the website. Make your donation and we will send you each and every Friday a link to listen to the full-length edition of this program. Thanks in advance for your generous contribution. Hello, Monk listeners. Rudyard Griffiths here, your host and moderator. Welcome to this, the regular Friday Focus podcast, our program each and every week, diving into the big issues and ideas shaping the news. We do this every Friday with Janice Gross-Stein, the founding director of the Monk School of Global Affairs, internationally renowned scholar and author. Janice is coming to us from an undisclosed location where I hear it is not minus 30 degrees today. But Janice, I won't expose you to being disloyal to the cold that all the rest of us, are at least in central Canada, are suffering through today.
The polar vortex, as we describe it.
Yeah, it's coming to Florida too, though. So.
Well, it's not in Washington yet, so that's an advantage.
Here. Okay, let's dive in. The first topic has got to be just a crazy week in financial markets. We saw the U.S. Federal Reserve come out, maybe not entirely surprising people, stepping down following the Bank of Canada to a 25 basis point increase in their federal funds rate, the overnight rate. But what was interesting was the commentary, the press conference afterwards, where Chairman Powell, Jerome Powell, seemed to, I don't know what's the language, dovish signals on a variety of different fronts. And you saw this frenzy in markets, meme stocks, Bed Bath & Beyond, Carvana, all those lovely stonks, as they were called in 2021, rocketing up on, I don't know what, Janice, an assumption, I guess, maybe this is all over. Inflation's done. We're back to ultra low interest rates. It's just a matter of time.
So let me be the Dr. Doom in the room then, Rudyard, and say this. First of all, these are pauses because there's a lag, as you well know, between the time central banks cut rates and the impact on the economy. So yes, we're seeing significant improvement in some inflation numbers that are dropping, but we are not there yet. And I would not want to bet my house on either Powell or Tiff Macklin if they see an uptick over the next 2 or 3 months, not starting this game again. So I would be very modest. The second big one, which I think is driving the markets and is not getting the same kind of attention for good reason as Powell, is China's reopening. And there is euphoria about China coming back into the global market, the pent-up COVID demand that there is in China for a whole, you know, for Bed Bath & Beyond, literally, for a whole set of products they've not been able to access. Again, I think at the very best, cautious optimism here. This is a badly dented market. Consumer confidence is really shaken in China as a result of the draconian measures. And it's also, frankly, not clear how deep this opening is. Yes, at Davos, we got the signal, but who did we get from? The most Western-oriented, the most technocratic, the most kind of open, exposed, trained economist Nguyen He, who is a trusted confidant of Xi's, but it is also very likely he was sending a signal here. So I am much more cautious than the markets.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, these central bankers have just these completely outsized roles. I mean, it to me, it's always a delicious irony that supposedly the most free market economy in the world, the United States, kind of lives and dies on, you know, the syllables, the tone, tonality, the body language of someone who effectively is an unelected civil servant. You know, talk about state planning. You know, I guess this type is tolerated for all the good reasons that we need an independent monetary policy. I get that. But what I don't get this week is the sense that, you know, inflation is one and done. I mean, you, Janice, went through the 1970s. You know the story of Arthur Burns, the now vilified chair of the Fed, who did, it seems in a way, follow down a path, a trajectory that, not that our central banks are on, but that they're dallying with, they're toying with. They like the idea of pausing now, waiting and seeing, maybe cutting rates if they need to, but if employment is challenged by, as you say, the lag time of the cuts that have been made. But wasn't that the lesson of the 70s, Janice, that inflation doesn't let you off easy? You got to put your foot on its neck on the mat and basically strangle it out of the economy, as Paul Volcker later came back and did.
You know, he had the nightmare inflation crisis where rates had to go up to 18%, frankly, to bring down inflation. So we have to be careful, Rudyard, not to go back to Volcker's nightmare to judge. But if we look across the economies that are struggling with inflation in the developed world, there, none of these economies has yet experienced a minor recession. So to hope that we can get out of this, of these levels of inflation, you know, in the UK, around 10%, in some of the others, in Europe, not much less. So to hope that we can do this and entirely avoid even a minor recession, which is where we still are, I think is very optimistic. I really see these two central bank governors, and I am a big believer in central banks. Economies do not regulate themselves. We know that. Market efficiency, that vaunted market efficiency, has disappointed us over and over. Markets don't function without good regulation. And so we need these central bank governors. But I think, I don't believe they have made a decision to stop. I think they've made a decision to pause, evaluate, and they have all their options on the table.
Agree, Janice, but the pausing, because of a decade of conditioning of easy money and the Federal Reserve and these central banks always stepping in at the moment of crisis and never letting the moral hazard play itself out, always bailing everybody out, that's created this frenzied response to the perception of a pause and these dovish signals about disinflation happening through various parts of the CPI. And that works directly against monetary policy. It is a loosening of financial conditions. And that was the bizarre, I'm enough of a macro geek that I actually listened to Powell's press conference. That was a weird thing, is he was unable or unwilling to mention and acknowledge that financial conditions have loosened significantly since October, by any measure, Goldman Sachs, Bloomberg, you name it. He doesn't want to go there because the market is lowering bond yields. Bond yields are coming down. The Fed only controls the overnight rate, the yield right at the front of the curve. Those other yields are coming down. Mortgages are getting cheaper. You know, it's cheaper to borrow, you know, for car loans, credit cards, businesses. I don't know, Janice. I get this creepy feeling of a, you know, what a lot of big bureaucratic institutions in our era always do, which is trying to have their cake and eat it too, kicking the can down the road, optionality, data dependent, you know, all the phraseology.
Yeah.
But the world doesn't often, you know, sometimes it's great. Maybe the world unfolds exactly as we plan. Other times it doesn't.
You know, to put the politics back in this discussion, and both governors would tell you they are immune to politics. They are independent central bankers. That's certainly, that's their role, but, you know, nobody with that kind of responsibility can be wholly immune to politics, frankly. And in those two governors are in countries where elections are looming over the horizon. If you're going to tilt the scales as they're trying to estimate the uncertainties here and nobody can be sure, if were I in their shoes, I might be tempted to say, well, I'm going to put my thumb on that part of the scale that's not going to push this economy into a major recession in the run-up to next year's elections. And I think that's probably a factor, too. But on the other hand, it's a kind of steely character to both these men. I know Tiff Macklin. He doesn't bend easily. He has to be convinced that what he's doing is right. And I think if we, in the next 2 or 3 months, we see core inflation rates going up, as they well could, frankly, look at the level of spending in the United States. Biden is putting $2 trillion into the U.S. economy. So if the rates go up in the U.S. And Powell moves first, we can't be far behind. I think we are we're hanging by our fingertips right now. This is not over.
Yeah, my prediction is like it's one of those zombie movies, you know, at the very end where they've killed the zombie and then the hand reaches out of the grave and just grabs you by the ankle. I don't know whether we're going to get pulled into a big recession, a small one. I don't know. But I just, this whole idea of immaculate disinflation, you know, just this beautiful glide down, employment remaining high, the economy remaining strong. It just seems like a fantasy to me, but it's, you know, what do I know? Trillions of dollars.
It hasn't happened, Richard. So,
yeah, but it seems like a lot of people in markets are way smarter than I, at least based on the capital they're allocating, certainly a lot richer than I am, are making that bet. And that to me is the $64 trillion question is the market right? And the Fed is, their market is predicting the Fed will be cutting rates before the end of the year. Yeah. The Fed and Tiff Macklin, everyone else said, no, we're maintaining rates. We're not cutting, you know, we're being prudential here. It'll be fascinating to see when we do our year-end show who was right, Mrs. Market or Mr. Powell and Mr. Macklin.
I'm kind of betting with you right now against the market. Now, we should both say, Rudyard, nobody should take our advice on any decisions they're about to make. We have a macro look way up, and in comparison to people who do this professionally, we are commentators, not advisors.
Here. Well, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to dig into our second topic of the show, which has got to be Israel. A lot going on there. A security situation that seems to be deteriorating. Politics amped up to 11 on the dial. Some high stakes discussions about the Supreme Court. We got all that for you right after this break. Thanks for listening to this excerpt of the Friday Focus podcast. To get full-length editions of each and every episode of this program, simply go to our website, www.themonkdebates.com. Click on the Friday Focus tab in our navigation on the top right of the site. Make a donation as little as $25 a year or 50 cents an episode, and we'll send you not only the full-length editions of each and every Friday Focus podcast, but all kinds of special offers, perks, access to events, and additional content. Again, you can do that right now by becoming a donor to the Monk Debates at www.monkdebates.com.